Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Happy Friday, you all. Yes. Also, happy Pink Day. If you've got a pink shirt, stand up. A little love for those raising awareness for breast cancer. Lord bless our researchers in every way. We also want to welcome many guests that we have here checking out Hope College today. We want to welcome you to our community very much. We're glad you're here. Fall break is done. You hear me? It's done now. We got to turn the corner. We got to press in. We have to go hard at what we are here to do. Prepare our lives to be leaders for this world God so loves. So for the next 7 weeks, my friends, let's worship with intensity. Let's study with intensity. Let's love each other with intensity. Amen? All right, as we head into this, I got a couple notices for us. The first is that this Sunday, I invite you all to come out to the gathering to hear John Cotton Richmond, who will kick off our Missions Week emphasis. John Cotton Richmond has worked with International Justice Mission, most recently with the State Department, and he is one of the lawyers that is fighting sex trafficking, and just a voice you'll want to hear. Again, it's Missions Week, and we also want to know if there's any song globally you want to sing next week to email Bruce Benedict at worship@hope.edu. Also, if you are interested in a free ticket, the first five people to email worship@hope.edu to Bruce Benedict will get a free ticket to the All Sons and Daughters concert with Sarah McCracken on Monday here in Dimnit Chapel. So one of the songs we just sang is an All Sons and Daughters song. I think that's right. Is that true? Yeah. All right. Even if it's not true, let's just say that it is. The first five people who can translate Spera in Deo, which is carved on Dimnit's wall, and refer to what psalm that is in, will get a free ticket, the first five. Or if you can name Paul Boersma's former dog's name, you'll get a ticket. Also, as you leave chapel today, if you are interested, get this brochure from the Emmaus Scholars Program. This is an intentional Christian community where people are living together to explore faith and action, to deepen the imagination of what it means to live as a follower of Jesus. I encourage you to take one of these brochures, and if you are somebody who's thinking about where to live next year, what you want to pursue while you're in college, take this with you, okay? Well, those are all my notices for today as we make the turn. And today is also the final of a series, mini-series we've been doing in chapel with our church covenant partners. And today it's my great privilege to invite my pastor, my best friend, a 1999 Hope College graduate who was graduated with a degree in biology and chemistry. Yes, you too can be a pastor. Would you please welcome the beloved John Brown back to chapel.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. It's fun to be with you. Just in case this gets long and boring, and it might, I've been known, I have a picture for you that I want you to see. That's my six-week-old daughter, Ava. I thought about putting this picture up, but maybe it'd be a little too volatile and provocative. So we're going to leave this one up. Oh, she's awesome. Since this is Friday, I thought we could memorize a Bible verse together. It's not long, it's not hard, and I think you'll be grateful. It goes like this. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I realize fall break is now basically a forgotten memory, so maybe this would be a helpful verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, then I will give you rest. It's tucked towards the back of the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It's Jesus who says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, then I will give you rest. If I repeat it a few more times, do you think you'll have it memorized? Just two stories for you today, and then we'll get you off to DeVos. It was Tuesday this week, 12:30, Marilyn Covert, beloved member of the church I love down on the corner, breathed her last. She fought valiantly melanoma for the better part of this past year. Her husband, Bill, was sitting at the dining room table praying, "Lord, in your mercy, take her quickly." At the same moment, her daughter walked out of the room and said, "Dad, she's gone." Well, last Saturday, just after my girls' soccer match, I made my way to Marilyn's, the room where she was staying over in Zealand. Knocked on the front door, Bill opened the door, walked me down the hallway, past the living room, past the dining room, down another hallway into the room where Marilyn was staying. Marilyn was an organist at Pillar. Now, I'm not like all that into the organ, to be entirely honest with you. So when I showed up 4 years ago, Marilyn was very suspicious of me. But something happened over a fairly short amount of time. God opened her heart, switched her spirit, and she loved me. So when I sat next to her on Saturday, it was delightful. Now, the lights were off, but the sun shining through the shades was enough. I grabbed her hand. It was warm. She turned her head. I said, "Marilyn, you look beautiful." She smiled and chuckled and said, "I love you." And we had this beautiful conversation. We talked about her kids, her grandkids. We talked about my kids. I wanted to introduce her to Ava. At one point, I said to her, "So, like, what's on your heart?" It was my unsophisticated way of saying, "What's it like to know you're dying?" She said, "Actually, I'm at peace." And then she put her hand out like this and said, "I know the future. I'll be with Jesus and my mom and dad." Even when you're 80, you're still thinking about your mom and dad. "I'll be with Jesus and my mom and dad. I just don't know what it will be like to get there." I thought that was honest, and I thought that was fair. And then 3 days later, 12:30, while her husband Bill was praying, she breathed her last. She entered into the fullness of the future. Here's a second story. Jesus left that place and entered into their synagogue. There was a man with a withered hand, and the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said, "Suppose one of you has one sheep, and on the Sabbath it falls into the ditch. Would you not lay hold of it and lift it out? Are not human beings more valuable than sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he stretched it out. And immediately it was restored, as sound as the other. And the Pharisees went off to conspire against him to destroy him. That's Matthew 12, 9 through 14. That's the story that immediately follows the verse you just memorized. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." With rest on his mind, Jesus finds himself in a conversation with the Pharisees about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the holy day set aside to rest. The Pharisees were fastidious about Sabbath keeping. They had 39 laws about things you could and could not do on the Sabbath to make sure no one broke Sabbath keeping. Like, don't write a letter, a single letter, or erase one. That would be bad. Don't start a fire or put one out. That wouldn't be right either. 39 laws. They were fastidious about Sabbath keeping, such that Sabbath became, rather than the day of rest, another day to prove yourself, another day to show your worth. And the people were tired. So the man with a withered hand stretches it out, and Jesus says, "It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath because finally, one day, all things will be made good. Finally, one day, all things will be made new and right and whole. Jesus is the final Sabbath. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Not just a day to abide by another set of rules, but an invitation to embrace a person in whom there is rest. So I'm wondering on Friday, is anyone tired? Looking for more than a nap? Though that'd be nice. Anyone burdened by some past pain or real sadness or present ache? Anyone in need of rest? Jesus says, "Come to me, and I'll give you rest." And we put it on our calendars as a day, not to abide by another set of rules, but to embrace the one who says, I'll give you rest. So Marilyn put her hand here. I know the future. I just don't know what it will be like to get there. So take time in your week to receive the invitation and embrace the person Jesus. I'll give you rest. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you.